But now we turn our attention, and I'm just thrilled to have him on, talking with him for the very first time. And I'm glad you guys are hanging out and listening. Want to welcome to the show Daniel Kelly. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing well, Linda. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight.
Great. I'm going to just give people a little bit of insight, and I'm going to have you take it away because I love your story. It's very inspirational, and I love taking the time during a 3-hour radio show to kind of mix it up. And people need to hear stuff like this, especially now. But, you know, you're a former Jet Scout, of course. You know, you're a great writer for SI as you freelance. You wrote a great book. It was described as the most controversial book in sports. It's entitled Whatever It Takes. So I want people to know, Daniel Kelly, tell us about your story and your journey and, you know, starting now, because I think it's important. Give me a little background.
Absolutely, Linda. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I started kind of when I was 8 years old, growing up in Minnesota as a fan of the Washington Redskins, if I can still say that, the Washington football team.
Right. And, that's right.
Absolutely. It was love at first sight. My parents had a football game on the corner living room on an old RCA television. It was the Minnesota Vikings versus Washington. And it was just magnetizing. Looking at the screen for an 8-year-old boy, the colors of the team, the stadium, RFK, the fans. John Riggins, my favorite player of all time, Joe Gibbs, the Hogs, Joe Theismann. It was love at first sight, like a magnet to a refrigerator. I was absolutely magnetized to the Washington Redskins. And a couple weeks later, of course, they go on to win Super Bowl 17 against the Miami Dolphins. I was hooked. John Riggins wins the day, wins the game, becomes my favorite player of all time, even at that age. I had a little old Riggins jersey on over the top. My grandma got me a screen-printed T-shirt with a 44 in the front and back in yellow and a Riggins along the top of the back. It was way before the time they even had NFL jerseys for kids at the NFL shop. In fact, there was no internet back then. So I just became enamored with the Redskins. Of course, the next year they lost the Super Bowl to Oakland, and I threw up and missed 3 days of school. I took that one pretty hard. And just grew up a fanatical fan. Had a chance at 13 years old on Christmas night. The Redskins were in town to play the Minnesota Vikings. Had a chance to call the team hotel. I found out which hotel the Redskins were staying in. They happened to get Dexter Manley, the star defensive end on the team at the time, one of the most revered pass rushers of that era, on the phone, and he invited me to the team hotel. And it was incredible. 13-year-old of a kid today again, Ray Lewis or Deion Sanders or somebody on the phone. You know, it was just incredible. And he invited me to the team hotel. I met him and all the players. And of course, the Redskins went on to win the Super Bowl that year, Super Bowl 22 with Doug Williams. And my passion for the Redskins just grew. Linda, if I wasn't thinking about the Redskins, I was talking about the Redskins. If I wasn't talking about the Redskins, I was dreaming about them. And I just wanted to be in the NFL so badly. I have just this burning passion inside me. I mean, I wasn't any good at playing. In fact, Linda, I was the only kid on my high school football team that didn't have enough playing time to earn a letter.
Hey, at least you made your high school football team. Let's think positive.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. I like that. As I said, my claim to fame was dropping interceptions. Somebody told me the other day, they said that wasn't a dropped interception. I was a pass defendant. So I was happy about that, too. But it was just something where I wanted to be in the NFL. I had a chance at 17 years old. I drew up a play for Joe Gibbs as a junior in high school and suggested it to him. And Coach Gibbs used the play for a touchdown in a preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And my parents actually gave me a book called NFL, Tony Rizzano's Secrets to NFL Scouts. Written by the great 49ers scouting director with Bill Walsh back in the 49ers dynasty days. And I can put it down. I said, this is what I want to be, Linda. I want to be an NFL scout. And that was my course was set. That's all I wanted to do with my life.
It's one thing, though, as you know, as we all know, too, and it's great putting it out of the universe and things happen. But for you, Daniel, that's exactly what was happening in your journey, it sounds like. So you always wanted to be a scout. But how did you make it happen? I mean, how did it happen for you?
Well, Linda, it was really an interesting journey. It was kind of expected, unexpected. I barely passed through high school because I was so focused on football, and I failed all the small community college, and I found myself working as an insurance agent, Allstate Insurance, telemarketing for insurance leads one night, and all of a sudden this ad came on KFAN Radio in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that said, hey, the first 32 callers call in, you can represent a team on the air, bring a friend, mock draft, that type of thing. So I had 9 open phone lines, so I just started dialing like a crazy person. I ended up being the second caller that get through, and they say, hey, you're gonna represent the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I grabbed all my old scouting reports. I had tried to get in with the Redskins with Charlie Casserly when I was 17, the GM at the time of Washington. And so I took all my old scouting reports just in case, you know, somebody might be at the Vikings headquarters I could talk to. And so, you know, I walked in there, and they, you know, just like the NFL commissioner says, you know, there was an open mic standing in front of me, and I was scared to death of public speaking at the time. And the mic, you know, the announcer said, just like the NFL commissioner, you know, with the second pick in the 1995 draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select. And I stepped into the microphone, and then I said, Tony Boselli, offensive tackle, USC.
Nice.
Absolutely. I saw the corner of my eye. I saw Tony Dungy sitting there, the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings at the time under Danny Green. And I approached him. And I said, Coach Dungy, would you be willing to take a look at my summer reports? He looked down for a few minutes and said, this stuff is actually pretty good. How would you feel about coming to my office next week? We can sit down, we can talk and visit, and I can pull up some of my old reports, and we can compare notes. And I was there, and it turned out to be a 6-month unpaid internship with Coach Dungy, and he left for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I had left back for the real world to end up selling Kirby vacuum cleaners door-to-door, kind of bouncing around different jobs, went through a very personal, hard time. I got kicked out of my apartment, lost my vehicle, lost my fiance at the time, went through a really tough time, but rebounded to find myself all of a sudden at 24 years old working at Bank America. And Linda, I got to this point, and maybe some of our listeners can identify with this, you know, I got to a point where I just sat there at this real estate meeting, and I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, right. My dream is to be an NFL scout, and I kind of go back to Joe Gibbs. I think he's the greatest influence in my life when I look back, because, you know, he made that decision in Super Bowl 17 to go for it on 4th-and-1 against the legendary Don Shula, where a lot of coaches might have punted, and that kind of forged that philosophy in my life. So I said, you know what, I'm going for it. And so I went ahead, and I got, you know, I had this little satellite dish, and I stopped at Target with and bought all these pens and paper, and I called DirecTV, you know, they got the college football package and started taping all these games. And that really turned into a 7-month journey where I, you know, worked at the bank all day as a loan officer, and then I moonlight all night, you know, every night as a scout. And the reports piled up, and I actually found a publisher to self-publish a 350-page 1998 NFL draft report. And I you know, paid to get that done, no guarantees, and made, you know, 3 copies for each team in the NFL, one for the general manager, one for the head coach, one for the director of player personnel. Spent another $1,300 to have it overnight in mail because I knew the best way to get in somebody's hands in the NFL was to have it, you know, looking official. You know, it's a 7 to 10 pound box that says attention coach Bill Parcells on the box. And so I just, you know, sent it out. I put everything I had into the project. And sent my resume, quote-unquote, out to every team in the NFL, Northeast, South, and West, and got a pager. I'm dating myself a little bit, but got a pager in 1998 and sat back and waited and see, you know, which team would respond to me at that point.
And which team did, Daniel Kelly?
Well, Linda, it was the New Orleans Saints. It was the first team to call. And they said, you know, Bruce Lumberman, the college scouting director at the time, said, hey, we wanted to give you a call. I just want to let you know Mike Ditka really likes your book. We have a position available. It's for the Midwest scouting region for the college scouts. You know, we really like what you're doing. And just remember, we're the first team to call. You other teams will be calling. So I thought I was going to New Orleans, Linda. I really did. And 2 weeks later, Bruce Lerman called me back a second time, and my heart sank because he told me that one of their senior scouts had disagreed with some of my reports, and they would be unable to move forward with any kind of job offer. So I was crushed. But a good friend of mine said, you know what, I think a coach with as much passion, if not more passion, is going to call you. And sure enough, 2 days later, Scott Pioli with the New York Jets sent a page. I was on the phone with him, and next thing you knew, I was being whisked out from Minnesota, New York, for what turned out to be a 2-day, very intense marathon interview that was an incredible experience with the Jets.
Linda Cohn talking with Daniel Kelly, who, as you can hear, has such an incredible, inspirational story. And basically, it's about not giving up on your dream. And his dream was being a part and being with what's in his bloodline is the NFL. And so you got to the Jets, and then you faced some real adversity. Am I right?
You're right. You're right, Linda. Yeah, my first month on the job, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And yeah, that was quite the setback. I was just crushed, because whenever I heard of cancer in the past, and for our listeners that don't know this, testicular cancer is, we hear a lot about breast cancer and prostate cancer, but testicular cancer is one of the most, I think the most common, I think it is from about 17 to 24. And I didn't know that. And I thought it was just kind of stress related because I'd gone to probably about 10, 15 hours sleep a week for the last 7 months working at the bank before I got hired at the Jets, just putting this book together that got me my opportunity. So I thought it was like stress related, went to the doctor. They looked at me for about 5 minutes and said, nope, you got testicular cancer. And my life flashed in front of my eyes because I always thought when I heard the C word, I thought, it was a death sentence. And I thought, well, geez, I finally got here. Now it's all over. But it was incredible because, I always kind of wondered, Linda, why the Jets, why not the Saints, the Seahawks, 49ers, et cetera. And it turns out that New York in Manhattan had the best hospital in the world for testicular cancer at Sloan Kettering Hospital, where Brian Song, the movie was with the place. The team doctor, the Jets, knew Dr. George Basel, who was a world-renowned, world-famous surgeon for testicular cancer, ran two books on it. And because of the relationship the team doctor, the Jets, had with Dr. Basel, I got right to the top of the waiting list. And it was just favor at that point. And he started doing some different chest x-rays and CAT scans. And he says, he pulled me in the office. It was the first month of the season, 98. And he said, we got a problem. And the doctor said, well, what kind of problem? He says, he starts putting up. He goes, well, your cancer's spreading. He said, there's a lymph node the size of a dime on your spermatic cord, because the way the cancer travels is down from that region of a male's body up the spermatic cord to the, armpits to the brain, like Lance Armstrong. And he said, we need to operate right away, and you're probably going to miss the season. And I was just sat there, just frozen in my chair. I was, devastated. And so my parents and grandma, my little brother Monroe, came out, to New York for a game, and I went in to get operated on. I was on the table at Sloan Kettering for 8 hours. It was a 12-inch incision from my sternum all the way down, 75 staples to seal me back up. But I made it back to work. I was not going to opt out myself. I was going to make it back for my rookie season. And the NFL was back to work 3 weeks later. Of course, the Jets that year went on to win the first title they ever had in 29 years under Bill Parcells. And we almost made the Super Bowl my first season in the league. But, yeah, it was a tremendous season of adversity, as you said, Linda.
How are you doing now, Daniel, with this?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for asking, Linda. I'm 22 years. Yeah, I'm 22 years out right now, and cancer-free to this day.
That is so great to hear. So the book, okay, Whatever It Takes. Tell me about the book, and what do you hope people take away from it?
Absolutely. The book was the greatest challenge of my life, to write. The only thing I can tell our listeners that's harder getting in the NFL is getting a book published. I sent out a proposal to every publisher in the country. Everybody sent back rejection letters. One famous literary agent from New York called back. He said, listen, I really like what you're trying to do, but let me level with you. You and Bill Parcells could write the exact same book, and his is going to get published, and yours is not, because everybody in the world, knows who he is, and nobody has any idea who you are. So I took that advice and started doing some freelance writing. The book actually took me 10 years to write, despite being able to type 90 words a minute. It's a 168-page book. It was like piecing together a 100,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. It was incredibly challenging. But the entire time, I had this vision to be able to give. It talks about in the back of the book, the back cover, it talks about it's a story of perseverance and a message of hope. And that's what I want people to really take away from the book is to point out to people that whatever your dream, it's possible. And there's actually hope to get through any adversity life has to offer. And I found that hope, Linda, during my time at the Jets in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, after everything I'd gone through, out being with the Jets, I lost everything within 3 months. Actually, the doctors told me I'd never be able to have kids. I had a daughter, Bailey Hope. She developed neuroblastoma cancer, lost her on Christmas Day in 2001, was out there for 9/11. And then everything fell apart. The Jets and my first marriage ended. And I can tell you, if I didn't have that hope that I share in the book, and I don't know where I would be today.
Wow, Daniel, I'll tell you, no one should have had and should have the hardship that you have. But you know what? You keep plugging along. So let me close with this. What are you doing now and what are you looking forward to in the future?
Well, right now, I'm writing for Sports Illustrated with the Detroit Lions. And I had a chance for the last few years, 2017, I actually got a letter. I corresponded with Mr. Jimmy Haslam with the Cleveland Browns. He wrote back a letter to me asking me for my ideas. I put together a 166-page revolutionary kind of a game plan to help the Cleveland Browns to potentially win the Super Bowl. So I went for that in 2017. Last year, I got I was contacted out of the blue by Mr. Bruce Allen, the former president of the Washington Redskins. He said he got a hold of my book, Whatever It Takes, and flew me out to Washington for a whirlwind interview. It was an incredible experience. Met with him for an hour and a half, and I was talking about maybe putting me in a position of maybe being on special teams working with the coach, or perhaps with the special teams coach, or perhaps being in scouting with Kyle Smith or Doug Williams. Of course, he got let go on Black Monday. I had my heart set on that. So whatever's next, I really don't know, and that's really the way my story has gone and my life has gone, Linda. I don't know what's next, but I know it's going to be really good, and I would love to have a second chance in the NFL. That's what I would really want to have someday.
Well, we're rooting for you. I hear the passion. I love the passion. And you know, your story, despite the just awful tragedies that have been a part of it, you are, your message is a great one. It's just really keep pushing, keep powering through. And that's what you have done, Daniel Kelly. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us tonight.
You're very welcome, Linda. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's truly an honor. Thank you so much.